Yep.
All right. I'd like to call the meeting to order. If we could please stand for the pledge and have our guests up.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, wait, before our pledge leaders leave, we got a couple little nice things for you.
We have three.
Mrs. Hagenbusch, can you please call the roll?
Mr. Birch?
Present.
Mrs. Stats?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Okay. We're going to move on to item 2, board report. This is where we just give updates in all the buildings, upcoming updates and things going on in our schools. At the primary, the Norton Developmental Preschool would like to thank Jungle Bob for his visit to the morning and the afternoon classes last week. Jungle Bob brought some special rainforest guests to visit with all of the students. Key upcoming dates: Kindergarten Field Day is scheduled for May 12th. Kindergarten Parent Night for the 23-24 incoming families will be held May 15th at 6 p.m. in the primary gymnasium as the kickoff for the weeks of welcome. Title I Reading Night on May 18th from 5:30 to 7 at the Norton Branch Library. Kindergarten End of Year Ceremony is scheduled May 22nd at 6 p.m. at the Norton High School Performing Arts Center. And Preschool End of Year Ceremony will be May 23rd at 6 p.m. Grace Church, Norton Campus. Preschool Field Day will be at Columbia Woods on May 25th. Norton Elementary. Norton Elementary School celebrated Autism Acceptance Week last week as a way to promote inclusiveness within our community. Students participated in activities and discussions throughout the week to learn more about autism. This month, students will participate in a variety of field trips at places like the Barbed and Magic Theater, Nickajack Farms, the Akron Zoo, and Sluggers and Putters Amusement Park. Field trips are funded through fundraising efforts by our parent organizations. Norton Elementary School will also be celebrating Right to Read Week, with this month to celebrate students' growth in reading while encouraging students to read over the summer break. Our theme for Right to Read Week is Make Your Mark and See Where It Takes You. We will be featuring stories by children authors Peter Reynolds and celebrate topics such as bravery, individualism, creativity, and resiliency. Parents will be receiving information soon about summer enrichment activities offered at the school, including Camp Invention, our summer reading club, and literacy on the lawn events. Moving on to Norton Middle School. For the final PBIS incentive, Norton Middle School students will have the opportunity to participate in end-of-year party, including 3 inflatable obstacle courses and a prize raffle. Norton Middle School wrapped up its Tech Tuesday Challenge. 23 middle school teachers participated in its optional professional development. Congratulations to Mrs. Abernathy and the sixth grade team for being challenge winners. The middle school submitted 5 grants for the GAR Foundation, a peer mentoring program, indoor farming at Norton Middle School, and virtual reality Media Center for Student Video Announcements, and a STEM grant. Our music department has been busy preparing for their end-of-year performances. The band just finished their spring music festival at Columbia Woods. Eighth grade choir performs on May 8th at 7 p.m. Fifth grade performs on May 9th at 6:30. And 6th and 7th graders perform on May 9th at 7 p.m. All choir concerts will be in the High School Performing Arts Center. 8th grade reality day will be Friday, May 12th. This is a fun, interactive simulation to help prepare our 8th graders for real world. On May 13th, from 9 to 12, Builders Club will be doing a free car wash for the community. Donations will be accepted but not required. On May 18th, our student leadership groups will travel to Cedar Point. May 22nd is fourth grade transition day. Fourth graders will travel by bus to visit the middle school. Students will have the opportunity to tour the building, meet staff, and have questions answered by staff and students. The eighth grade recognition ceremony will be May 24th at 9:30. And finally, on May 25th, fifth, sixth, and seventh grade students will celebrate with a moving up dance to end the school year. Busy end of year for the middle school. Holy smokes. All right, high school, congratulations to the boys tennis team for winning the MAC championship. This is the boys' 10th league title in school history. On May 2nd, the high school celebrated our academic and fine arts awards with a school-wide assembly. Special congratulations to the almost 50 seniors who were awarded the four-year academic award for their academic excellence through their high school career. Special congratulations to Ryan Cully for being awarded the 2023 Teacher of the Year. On May 5th, the high school celebrated our second annual Senior Signing Day. 55 seniors participated and displayed their commitment to further their careers in the workforce, enlist in the military, or continue their education at a post-secondary institution. The annual Panther Remembrance Run will be held this coming Saturday, May 13th at the stadium. Put on your running shoes and get ready to show off your ability for a great cause. The 2023 commencement ceremonies will take place on Sunday, May 21st at 2 p.m. in the stadium. Special congratulations to all the seniors in the class of 2023. All done. I'm putting on my running shoes, but I don't know that it'll do anything. So, okay. Moving on to item three, treasurer report.
Hello. I promise you guys I won't take all that long. Twice a year, the school district is tasked with doing a five-year forecast. So we're making predictions for this year and then the following 4 years moving forward so that it can give the district an idea of what our finances look like and what projections we can make for coming years and staffing levels or whatever it is that we need to look at. We do it in November, so we're guessing for the year, and then we have to do an update again in May. This will be our May forecast. This is what we're predicting for this year. Our revenues, we're looking at $25,276,000. Out of those, I tried to break this up so you get a little bit more understanding of what each of those are instead of just talking about those. Our real estate, which is the taxes that we have on your real estate, include, we have the general property tax that individuals pay. We have it for businesses that are in the district. We also have tangible personal property tax. You hear me talk about the pipeline sometimes that's running through New Franklin. And also included in this number is the homestead and rollback numbers. That's money that the state offsets your property tax values by. So instead of you having to pay property tax on all of your, or the entire amount of your bill, the state does pick up 10%, and then they pick up 2.5% of your property tax bill for those that are over 65 or disabled. So all of that is the 40% of our income comes from that. This year we're estimating $10,127,000 for that number. Income tax, those are for people that earn money and live in Norton. It's not for the people that work here, it's only for the people that live here, and you have to actually earn money. It's not on retirement income or investment income. This year that's 8% of our income, and it's $2,061,000. Originally, when we put that in place, we thought it would be about $1.4 million, and we're now collecting $2 million on that. The largest amount of money that we receive, 44% of our budget, comes from state funding. This is the money that the state gives us for our students here. Last year, they gave us, there's a new state formula. It's called the Fair School Funding Formula. It was implemented at the beginning of last year. This is our second year moving forward. It's only a two-year budget. I don't know if any of you heard where the governor talks about he has to have a new budget beginning July 1st. We're assuming at this point that the formula that was put in place is going to move forward and it will be funded the same way through the rest of this forecast. but it could change. Right now, it's gone. The governor has proposed a budget and it's voted into the House. The Senate has to come up with their version. They'll all get together and they'll make a decision by July 1st. But as you know, it's now May and we're doing a forecast. So it's our best estimate at this point. So we've just moved forward with what we had in place in November and what we knew there. Again, it's 44% of our budget or $11 million. And then we have other. That consists of rent, TIF payments on some property that's around here, the pay to play, interest, income, any reimbursements that we may receive for something. Workers' comp will reimburse us for some different things. So all of that money goes into that, and that's also 8% of our budget, or $2 million. On here, our expenditures. See the big yellow line there? It's a lot of money. It's a big percentage. 60% of our budget goes to pay our personnel, and then 22% of our budget goes to pay our benefits. That's what we do here. We educate students. We don't make widgets. We don't sell anything. So 88 or 82% of our budget goes for those large items. Purchase service, our next largest expenditure is, I'm sorry, it keeps popping up there, 13%. That's our utilities, might be legal expenditures that we would have to purchase. Our SRO, that's a new one for this year that we have, that's also in our purchase service. And then any out-of-district placement we might have to do for students. Occasionally we have a student that just doesn't fit well in our district and we have to send them somewhere else, and that's included in that number. And it, like I said, 13% of our budget or $3 million. The last catch-all that we have, supplies, capital, and other, which is just kind of what it sounds like. It's the stuff we have to educate, supplies for classroom, cleaning, bus garage, fuel, and it's also fees for our audit. We have to have an audit every year, so we have to have it by law, but then they make us pay for it, which kind of doesn't seem quite right. And then we have to pay Summit County to collect our taxes. That's all in that number. Putting it all together, this is our five-year forecast. I've just simplified it here. We have our expenditures of $25 million, or I'm sorry, our revenue of $25,276,000, our expenditures of $25,116,000. So we should have a surplus this year of $160,000. And then moving forward, we've made those predictions there. We look at this line item through here. We have $160,000. That's not our ending balance. That's how much we're bringing in more than what we're spending. Next year, it looks like we're going to have a surplus of about $20,000, but our carryover balance will be $4.4 million. So moving forward, we are in actually good shape. Implemented also in some of these, we looked last, I don't know if any of you remember in November, if you sat through these and you remember all of this, we were looking at a deficit of $1.6 million. Our superintendent has done some staffing realignment beginning next year, which is going to bring our budget down to, I know it's still a negative $200,000, but it's a big change from a negative $1.6 million. If anybody has any questions on any of that, please feel free to call me at any point. I know I've gone through this very quick and I have a tendency to talk fast. I apologize for that. So feel free to call. I can go into this ad nauseum if you would like me to. Oh, sorry, Mr. Parson.
All right, we're going to move on to item four, superintendent reports.
So I do have two items. I'm the first person I'm going to call up Denny Oswald. He is our director of student services. So he's going to kind of give you a little idea. We are required to do a threat assessment. So understanding a threat assessment, sometimes people get it confused. If you've got a kid who's in need, who's talking about harming themselves, that's not what a threat assessment is. A threat assessment is a kid who says he's going to harm others in a volatile manner. This is a tool that allows us to kind of figure out the sincerity of those statements, right? Is this a real threat? Is this something we need to address? Or is this somebody just talking inappropriately? So we went to some training, gone through this, and there's levels to it. Denny did a great job of kind of getting everybody together. We went out to the Summit ESC a couple weeks ago, got some pretty good training that we sat there all day for. So he's going to give you kind of the highlights of what we went through, and then we should be up and running and ready for next year to implement this stuff.
So as Mr. Farson said, my name is Denny Oswald. I'm the Director of Student Services. That department oversees a large variety of things, one of which includes our school safety. The threat assessment falls under school safety. So we've actually been a district that's been using a form of the threat assessment materials we just sat through. We've been using it since December of 2018. But we just kind of got refreshed through a recent House bill. We've had to update some things with the state. So that's kind of the end result of this. In October, if you were at a school board meeting, Mr. Farson did talk about the fact that all of our staff in the district did go through ALICE training. Completely different scenario. ALICE training is when we're responding to an active situation in the schools. The threat assessment side that we just went through is more or less looking at intervention. How are we going to intervene when we know or are made aware of a possible threat within our schools? So what we do through this system is we identify students of concern or they're brought to us. We assess the risk of it, and then we manage that risk depending on how severe things look once we kind of dive into that. So we provide some intervention there. The district, as I said before, has been using a version of this. It's called the Comprehensive School Threat Assessment Guideline, or CSTAG. We've been using it since December of 2018. We went to some training through the Sandy Hook Promise, and that's where we brought this back to the district and have been using it since then. The most recent House Bill 123, though, mandates that we create building and district teams. That was not a requirement with the training we went through before. So with that, we have created a team in each building. It's primarily comprised of our school counselors, our school psychologists, and our principals. And then those building teams combine together to make what we are calling our Safety Assessment Intervention Team, or SAI. Our SAI team has received two different trainings this year, and we've filed with the state of Ohio or the Ohio School Safety Center to show that we're compliant in terms of making sure that we get that training. So the two trainings that we've been through so far this year have been through our Public School Works, which is the kind of our professional development that we go through for our safety and mental well-being. There's trainings that staff have to go through every year. That was the first round of it. It was given to all of our administrators, psychologists, and counselors. And then a group of us went up to the Summit ESC, as Mr. Farson said, on April 25th to go through the full CSTAG training, which is the Comprehensive School Threat Assessment Guideline training. Done by a guy named Dewey Cornell, who is from the University of Virginia, where he's been studying this stuff for years and just trying to come up with the right tools and the right things that we need in order to truly assess what's going on in a threatening situation. So this is just a list. I'm not going to run through all the names, but a list of all the people who are on the Safety Assessment Intervention Team. You'll see underneath primary, we do have a new school counselor will be joining. They'll join that team, but for right now, we did not have that person. But there are three representatives from every building with the intent of our principals are aware of this. They understand the whole process, but they'll join the teams. We couldn't take everybody out of the district at once on a day when we have school for the sheer fact that there could be something going on here that we need them for. So this was the team that we took. That team is currently reviewing and updating our decision model, our decision tree, and all the forms that we have been using for the last several years. So we're taking the updated forms. And what these forms do is, anytime that we have a threat that's brought our way, whether it's small or big, we put it through a system to determine if, one, a threat is non-existent, if it's transient, which means that it's, for lack of better terms, it's kind of like a minor situation, or is it serious, substantive, which is typically when there's a threat of we're going to fight, but not with weapons, and then our more serious situations involve stuff that we don't want to have to talk about in schools. So the team is currently going through and making sure that we're updating everything. This is just a quick snapshot of the decision tree that we walk through when we're going through, and then the sample of the forms that we've created as a team are over there on the side. So the whole idea is to just update the process that we're going through so that at the start of next school year, we are 100% compliant for one thing, and then secondly, that all of our stuff is updated and ready to roll for the start of next school year. So,
perfect.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. If you have any questions about it, certainly you can reach out to my office and I can answer questions for you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. The second thing I had is I wanted to have a field house update. It's interesting. It's wonderful. When I got here, the field house, what an opportunity for people to use 12 months out of the year and that kind of thing. But what we have found in the conversations have been going on for a while, even prior to my getting here. There is a flaw in the field house, and it is with the HVAC. The air conditioning, the heating unit is there. If anybody has kids that have gone in there and had practices in the dead of summer or in the dead of winter, you know those problems exist. I'll give you an example in the summer. The way that the facility is created, it would be created if it was a large factory where there were no human beings inside. You could move air through the facility, it would keep it somewhat normal temperature and not a big deal. The problem is it's a facility where people run around and sweat and create heat. Well, it acts as a greenhouse, and that heat will accumulate into the ceiling and hold there. Two things happen. The floor gets slick. So if anybody's been there and kids have been sliding around, that's caused by the humidity of the people in the room. Or it gets up into the rafters and starts to rust it out a little bit. Plus there's insulation up there, which could create mold. So we've got a couple different factors going on. And then in the middle of winter, it never seems to heat up the way you want it to. I always look at that unit of, if any of us grew up in homes where you didn't have air conditioning, but you had that weird fan in the hall that somebody flipped on and sucked the air out, but you opened the window and it was like a cool breeze. Similar process. They were sucking air in from the outside and trying to blow it out the other side, but it was not able to circulate that much. Long story short, we have to upgrade that system, or that big investment we made a number of years ago is going to go bad very quickly. The beams will rust, there will get mold in the ceiling, and heaven forbid somebody gets hurt on that floor. So what you're going to see later in this agenda is we start to address that. We're going to start to take bids. The one great thing about the whole thing, even though there is no air conditioning in there to keep that temperature regulated, it was engineered as though it should have been there. Isn't that kind of funny? They put that in, but didn't put the unit in. So what we don't have to worry about that, which is thousands of dollars of expense. So we may be able to get that stuff in there. The wonderful, our favorite word in education these days is ESSER. So that was this money that they gave us during COVID that school districts could use. We can use ESSER funds for portions of that fix because we do have classes that go on inside that room. So we're looking into it to see what works for us. We're going to take some bids, see where we are, if this is something we move fast on, or we work over the fall and hopefully remedy that before it gets completely out of control and we lose a wonderful facility that should be able to be used by the masses. So I want to give you an update because you'll start to hear rumors. That's why the facility just, it's wonderful. It just needs a little bit better air circulation, a little cooler and warmer in the winter.
And it was told to the administration at the time that the unit that is in there was sufficient enough to do what we needed, correct?
Correct. Yeah, there was, okay. And please do not fault how this thing was built originally. This what happened to another school district a little farther south. The companies came in, they said, hey, listen, this is adequate, this will work. But they've all experienced this kind of humidity creation. I don't think it was evil or negligent or people were trying to get one over. I think they had a product. I don't think we wanted to dump a whole lot of money into it and try to figure out what is the best solution. And that was the best they proposed, and that's what we went with. We just learned over time.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to item 5, Students of the Month.
So I did have a request. Sometimes I will switch the order up, but Since Mr. Shaner asked if he could go first, we're going to have him go last. So, Mr. Morris, where are you? Please come on up.
Won't ask again.
Don't ask again. Maybe next time you're second to last.
All right. The May student of the month for the primary is Nolan Ruff. And come on up. He's joined by his classroom teacher. This is Mrs. Jennifer Yagi. And Nolan is probably the kindest gentleman that I have met in a long time in kindergarten. Super kind young man, great manners, please, thank you, yes sir, no sir. Just an amazing young man. I'm anxious to watch him grow and be a part of Panther Nation through 12th grade. You know, Parker was Student of the Month last month, so Mom and Dad are doing a phenomenal job, so we want to thank you, and I'll turn the floor over to you.
Okay, I told Nolan that my job is to talk and his job is to look handsome, so we both have a very important job up here, so Parker's doing a really good job. So Nolan began kindergarten ready to follow the rules, work hard, and try his best. He was quiet, nervous, and unsure of his new environment. The expectations were exhausting and the days were long. Although the first few months of school likely felt overwhelming and difficult to navigate, I could see that Nolan had decided he was going to come to school every day with the same level of determination, focus, and work ethic as the day before. When it was hard to understand new kindergarten concepts, he tried anyway. When it felt like he didn't have the courage to ask the question, he asked anyway. When practicing rote skills seemed boring and tedious, he practiced anyway. As time went on, Nolan began to gain confidence in himself and his ability to work through difficult tasks, communicate with his peers and teachers, and challenge himself in a variety of ways. Nolan is still quiet, but in a different way now. He is quiet because he is a respectful listener, because he cares about learning, because he is a leader to those around him, and because his confidence is now deep-rooted in who he is, and he does not need to show it in a loud or attention-seeking way. Nolan single-handedly decided that he would work hard until he understood and mastered every kindergarten skill, never giving up along the way, and he has done that and more. He is every teacher's dream, the kind of student who is hard to let go of, yet makes you feel so confident that he will continue to find great success in whatever he does. Our classroom cannot possibly be the same without Nolan, and I'm so thankful I got to be his teacher this year. And then also, you don't have to take my word for it, because his kindergarten friends today had some nice things to say about him, and here's what they said to Nolan. You are very, very nice. You are a really good friend. You are really good at sports. You run really fast. You are a good Pokemon trainer. You are fast and so strong. You are a nice friend. You are really, really, really good in the classroom. You color in the lines good. You are really fun to play with at recess. You are very sweet. You are really good when others aren't doing the right thing around you. You are good at baseball. I like your shoes. You are a good artist, a great artist. You're good at painting. You're quiet in the hallway. You always have a good heart, and you are very nice. You raise a nice, quiet hand. You are handsome, and you are really nice to me.
Hey, Nolan, is that your sister right there?
You can keep it down. She
told us. I just got a lot of questions. If those two earned Student of the Month,
I don't
know. No. More detention Student of the Month. Good. Good for her.
We won't be back.
Blaze your own trail, young lady. Blaze your own trail.
I love it.
We will go
quiet.
With Mr. Sackett. So, elementary.
So Nolan sounds like a heck of a guy. We're waiting for you up here at elementary. We have one of our own. This is Charlie Huntsman, our first grade student of the month. Also, just a pleasure to talk to. I had a chance to sit down with him and share some stories. He's very polite as well. I'd say he plays baseball and other favorite pastime is playing with his brother over there, so look forward to seeing you as well. Here with us is Kim Bryant, his teacher, to share more.
So I could talk about Charlie all night, but since three of my students are here from the pledge, it's about their bedtime. So I can cut it a little short, but Charlie, there's so much I can say about Charlie. He's, and I know my friends out there would agree with me, he's a great friend. He's kind. He knows how to have fun, but he also, which is amazing for a first grader, knows how to end it and get down to business when it's time to get down to business. He's really good at that. He's a fan favorite. Everybody loves being around Charlie, hanging out with Charlie, and you can see why. So the best thing for me, though, is I have so much fun teaching Charlie, because he's excited about everything I do. I can be teaching a boring lesson where people are like nodding off, and Charlie's right with me, and he's glowing, and he makes connections, and it just makes my job so much fun. I'm gonna tell a story, and I asked Charlie, I'm like, will you tell them what the scribe rule is? And he said, no, he's too shy, but he remembers. So I'm piloting a phonics program that's really kind of fun if you like language, and we're learning rules and things that we probably were taught, but maybe even not, just things we know. And so January is when we started this program, and I taught the kids the scribe rule. And the scribe rule is these old guys decided that the U looks too much like the O when it's next to a V, an N, or an M. So they changed it, like in the word love, it's L-O-V-E, but it sounds like a short U. So 2.5 months later, I'm up there teaching, I'm doing my thing, and I show a word that is one of our words that's non-decodable because the O says uh. And Charlie raises his hand and he teaches the teacher. He said, Mrs. Bryant, that's not a non-decodable word. That's the scribe rule.
Wow.
That much later. And the other thing that's so cool about Charlie is like you're teaching, and everybody says, oh, there's those light bulb moments. Well, there are. You have lots of students. You see them get it. They're excited. They do well. Charlie visibly lights up. Like, I will look over at him and he'll be glowing just from learning, from everything we do. And I told his family tonight, his brother can't be in my class because Charlie will say to me, I can't wait to go home and teach my brother this. I can't wait to go home and show my brother how to do this. And I'm like, I have no secrets from that one. So there'd be no surprises for him with their Charlie. So Charlie is a joy. I'm sure that you are all gonna know his name as he continues on through Norton, because he is a shining star. And I'm very honored to be his teacher.
Mr. Dobbins.
Norton Middle School Student of the Month is Xavier Mason Yancey. If you know anything about middle school students, when they come into the middle school as a fifth grade boy, they're wild, crazy, they jump up, they're trying to hit everything above their head. That was Mason in fifth grade. Mason was wild and crazy, he's a great kid, but I was telling Mom today how much, over 4 years, I've seen that maturity and what a great young man he's become this year. I love spending time with him, just having conversations in the hallway or at lunchtime, to see how much he's matured over the last 4 years is really why we're all in this business of educating kids. So I can't wait to see what he does in high school. And I know Mrs. Bruce brought something to say as well.
I knew I'd forget, so I wrote it all down. So I know Mason wants me to do this as quickly as possible, so I'm gonna try my best. You know when I start talking to her. So anyway, I'm honored to be up here with Mason. I have him for eighth grade language arts, and you know, this year he's made so much progress in the classroom. I've enjoyed having him every single day. He sits in the front row, you know, at the end of the day when it's usually kind of crazy anyway, and we just have a great class. Some of the qualities that make Mason stand out, though, to all of his teachers, as we all kind of collectively said he should be Student of the Month, was just his work ethic and his determination to do well, day in and day out. And, you know, I think as the year progressed, it even got more, it got, you know, a little bit better even as the year progressed. And so one thing that really stood out for me as his language arts teacher, though, is just his ability to advocate for himself. And Mason knows what it takes for him to learn the best way for him. And he will come up and ask for help, and he will say, no, I need to do this instead. And that's rare in students. They just kind of go with the flow. Mason knows what works for him. He wants to do well. He takes time on everything that you give him, every task that you give him. And it's refreshing to have a student like that in the classroom because, you know that he's working as hard as he can, even when it's not always, you know, necessarily easy for him. So, being able to do all those things and putting forth all of that effort on a daily basis is amazing. Another thing is just that he's a very personable student, and that, academics, he's a kid that will come into the classroom and talk with you and tell you about his hobbies and the jobs that he wants to get and save money for. And that's a quality that teachers, it's so nice to have kids who want to actually talk with you. And so we appreciate that in the classroom as well. Talks about his day, his future, his goals. And so we've just been so impressed at how, at the beginning of the year to now, he just matured so much. I do have Mrs. Underwood, his math teacher, wanted to say a couple things too. So I'm going to I wrote those down. She said he's truly matured as a student this year. In the second semester, Mason has been very conscientious in making sure all of his work is done. He will actually go to her during canter time for extra support if he doesn't know what he's, if he needs help in math, he'll seek her out for help. And she just said, he's been doing such an excellent job. He truly strives to do better each day, and that's really all we can ask for in our students. And so we are very proud to have him up this, have him up here as a student. So congratulations.
You want to go?
Yeah, I'm up.
Mr. Shaner, everybody, congratulations.
We're going to break this old male thing we got going on here. So, from the high school, every month we have two students of the month. We have one, which is our May student of the month, and that is Miss Anna Gotchenauer. And then we have our career tech student of the month, which is Miss Emma Baldinger. Now, the one thing I just want to kind of start off by saying is, I get asked all the time, not from people at the high school, but family and how do you put up with these high school kids, right? Teenagers, how do you put up with them? And honestly, God, it is so easy. It really is, because the vast majority of our students at the high school, like these two ladies right here, I am so excited that the two of you were chosen. Look at this smile, right? This is what we get to see every day, because these two ladies are really the epitome of what we want from high school students. They show up every day. They cause absolutely no problems. Low maintenance, just do what they're supposed to do. And then at the end of their senior year, it was so exciting getting to watch you guys walk across the stage on Friday at the senior signing day as well, which we'll talk about where you guys are going and stuff here in just a minute. But I just want to say thank you, how great the two of you are. And I really was very excited when I knew that the two of you got to be chosen this one. So thank you. Thank you for being you, really. So I'm going to start with Emma first. So Emma is in the marketing program at Barberton High School. So she spends a couple periods a day, not quite half the day, but a couple of periods a day at Barberton. She's actually won several awards this year through the various state level activities and events and stuff that you can go compete in. So obviously she has a bright future in the area. And so I know that you like to read books and watch movies and all that. We got to talk about that the other day, but her plan is to go to Northwood University and study marketing. Now, I do have a question for you. Where is Northwood University?
It's in Midland, Michigan. It's 5 hours away.
Yeah, my son was right. He actually mentioned it yesterday, and I said, we have a girl that's going to Northwood? Where is it? He said Michigan. I said, I think you're wrong. He was right. So, what do I know? So obviously we wish you well in Northwood and in your marketing future. So I gotta make sure I give you the right one. So first of all, congratulations for Student of the Month here, Emma. Yeah, that's right. Okay. And then we have Anna over here. So Anna is involved in just about everything under the sun at the high school. One of the great things in her leadership abilities this year is she was the only senior in the color guard. And so you guys had great success both in the fall and then through the winter guard as well. But she was the only senior, so obviously she provided a ton of leadership. I'm always amazed too when I talk to these young people how much they work, right? like their job. Like I had a job in high school, but I feel like every time I talk to these guys, they're like, oh yeah, I work like three jobs, no big deal, whatever. So Anna, she, you may have seen her before. She's a server down at Casa Del Mar. And then she also works as a state tested nurse assistant at Pleasant View Nursing Home. So she's already jumping in the field because what she plans on doing is going into nursing at the University of Akron. And so she's also in the advancement to nursing program at Barden. So obviously you look the part. To go on that, when I asked you the other day, what's one of your hobbies? What did you say? She's a hunter. Can you see that? I don't know. I can't see it. But, you know, obviously, she's pretty good. I said, what do you hunt? She starts going through all this stuff. Bow, gun, doesn't matter. I do it all. I'm like, yeah, I see it. Whatever. But I totally see the nurse, and I totally see the nurse in her. So I just want to say congratulations to you as well. And congratulations to both of you as you wind up your last couple of weeks here in high school. So Friday is senior's last day. So, all right, congratulations. Thank you.
Okay, we'll take a short recess to congratulate the Students of the Month. If you could, the Students of the Month, come up here for a picture with Mr. Farson, and then we have a yard sign for you, and then you're free to go if you choose, and then we will continue the rest of the meeting. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to item 6, public participation. Community comments are one way for a citizen to communicate with the Board of Education. When you are called upon, please stand, state your name, address, and topic. Each person is allotted 3 minutes until the total time of 30 minutes is used. Persons desiring more should follow the procedure of the board to be placed on the regular agenda and are limited to 5 minutes to speak as time permits. Remember, this is a formal and official meeting of the Board of Education, and what you say becomes part of the official meeting report. If your comment involves a problem with a student, employee, or board member, please do not address them by name. Keep in mind, we are meeting in a schoolhouse and possibly in the presence of students. At this time, the primary role of the Board of Education is to listen and reflect on your comments. The board will not respond with action, but will take comments under advisement and direct the comments to the appropriate staff member to address outside of this board meeting. Please do not use the individual employee names in this forum. We have one person signed up, Mrs. Linda Linden.
Hello, I'm Linda Linden, Norton bus driver. Good evening, Norton School Board members. Thank you for this opportunity to present our insight on an ongoing issue within our schools. Norton City School has had great difficulty filling numerous recess classroom aid positions throughout our district. In an effort to fill these positions, the district has resorted to offering a job share option. One employee covers 3 days, another would cover 2 days. This has proven to be a good solution for all parties. I believe, in fact, Mr. Yule's wife was asked to participate in this job share program. Our district has many positions they've been trying to fill since last fall with no luck. The absence of consistent help even led current employees of Norton Elementary to go on Facebook and ask anyone to help cover these openings. Our bus drivers once successfully covered these recess positions. However, our district ripped these jobs from them, causing hardship to many, and reassigned the task to a classroom aide. This approach has proven unsuccessful, and there has been no consistent coverage in this entire school year. We currently have several bus drivers available to fill these much-needed open positions, and that would certainly increase the much-needed consistency and therefore safety of our children. These current school employees already are background checked, and that would save money. We wouldn't be background checking new employees. Current employees also have established relationships with our students. Bringing drivers into the school day helps foster good relations between teachers and drivers, opening doors of communication, meaning more consistency for the students. The tighter the weave, the better the fabric. We understand affordability is a factor, but safety should be the focus. I believe these benefits outweigh the cost involved. We have spoken with administration and asked for this job share opportunity to be extended for these open positions. Their opposition is based on the cost to our district. To make this clear, allowing current bus drivers the opportunity to fill recess positions would increase their hours to full-time status. With full-time status, the district absorbs more of the insurance cost. As you well know, Norton bus drivers are in the lower end of the pay scale compared to surrounding districts, so lowering insurance costs would be beneficial. This forward-thinking approach could make our district more appealing. We never forget that it is our taxpayers' money that you are in charge of using wisely. The majority of our staff not only work in Norton, but also live in Norton. We too are taxpayers. Often, important decisions are overshadowed by dollar signs. Please do not let the safety of our students fall into that trap. We ask the board to weigh the benefits of using resources within our district against the cost and conclude this to be the right move moving forward. Again, thank you for your time and consideration to this matter.
Thank you. Do I have any other public participation? Okay, I'm seeing none. Moving on to item 7, agenda. Can I have a motion to approve item 7 agenda?
Are there any additions or corrections? Do we have any additions or corrections?
Oh, yeah, shoot, that might be right. Yeah, do we have? It's been 3 months. Do we have any additions or corrections to the agenda?
Okay. Nope. All right. Okay, there you go. I didn't know.
Okay.
It's okay.
Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Can you please call the roll?
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
All right, motion passes. Item 8, can I have a motion to approve the following policies? Items 1 through 14.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes. Moving on to item 9, can I have a motion for approval of minutes A and B?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Motion passes. Moving on to item 10, treasurer's recommendations. Can I please have a motion to approve letters A through E?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes. Item 11, superintendent's recommendations. Can I please have a motion to approve letter A, 1, and 2, approve personnel retirement, resignation, leave, and termination?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
I just want to thank Don for his service to the district. He's worked as an athletic director here for 7 years, and I appreciate the work that he did here.
I agree. He's the consummate gentleman.
My second. Or third. Okay. Can you please call the roll?
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion passes. All right, moving on to item B. Can I have a motion to approve the following administrative contracts, numbers 1 through 5?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
There's a couple names on here, and I'm not going to slight Eric or Tricia Ebner or Amy, but we have two people on that list that are moving into new occupations. So is Mrs. Snowden still back there?
She's right here in the middle.
Well, there you are. I didn't see you blended in. So Mrs. Snowden, I will come back to in a minute because it makes more sense if I do this other one first. Travis Dobbins, who's worked as our middle school principal for 3 years, correct?
Yes.
And prior to that, you were an assistant for quite some time.
Yes.
So he will be moving into our Director of Athletics and Support Services position. So we're excited to have him on that move. I know that Ryan's excited to have him at the high school. And with Travis moving, Tricia has the opportunity to step into that job. It's nice when you're a superintendent in a district and the pieces fit easily together. And these were two easily fit pieces. Travis is a wonderful person, he's done a wonderful job here, and he will be amazing at the next level, and Tricia will do likewise in filling in for Travis. It's nice that she's got Travis as a resource, but I would assume within a month she will be standing on her own and spreading her wings and doing an amazing job. So we are very excited about both of these moves. She's only allowed to call Travis once a week. He's got his own problems now, so he won't be a full resource. So I wanted to congratulate both of them. I'm very excited about this move, and I think everybody's excited about it in both places. So congratulations to you.
Congrats. Congratulations. All right, can we please call the roll?
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Motion passes. Moving on to letter C, can I have a motion to approve personnel certified one-year contract numbers 1 through 4?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion?
So I have 4 people on this list. So when they meet, they come and meet with me in the last round. We have the principals there. We have a nice conversation, and all of them will tell you this. Hey, this is when you're going to get approved on the board, but you do not have to attend. So it is a wonderful thing when you get 3 of the 4, and please do not slight Seth Daniels for this. 3 of the 4 have actually shown up here today. So if Jacqueline, Carrie, and Michaela could please stand up. Some of you went here, correct? Some of you went other places and are in a better place now.
Could they introduce themselves?
Where did you go to school?
Green.
Green.
No, we don't talk about that. So it's wonderful. When you go in, you never know what's going to walk through the door. This is the first time we've gone through a hiring process with the principals, and to see the 4 people that walked in, and these 3 ladies specifically, amazing. Knew their stuff, excited about teaching, and they are looking forward to being Norton Panthers for a long, long time. So welcome. And when they vote and they go through the whole thing, that's when you're official. So hold on. It's still up to them.
Who's who?
Oh, so let's do this. Jacqueline?
I'm Jacqueline.
She will be teaching science, correct? Carrie?
Aye.
She will be middle school Spanish. And Michaela? She is going to be a math teacher. And they all have wonderfully fascinating stories. So if you ever get a chance to talk to them, talk to them. They've got great experiences. So I'm very excited about these 3. And Seth, too, even though he didn't want to come. Yeah. He's an artist. What are you going to do? So he's an art teacher.
All right. Can we please call the roll?
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Congratulations.
You're official.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve letter D, approve personnel classified pending background check and permit, item 1?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes. Motion passes. Letter E, can I have a motion to approve personnel classified substitute number 1?
So moved.
Can you please call the roll?
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion passes. Okay. Can I have a motion to approve supplementals and stipends, letter F through V?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Wow, I know.
It's a lot.
That's awesome.
No discussion. Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Motion passes. Moving on to letter W, can I have a motion to approve the following supplemental position for the 2023-2024 school year, pending background check and permit check? Number 1.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? I will say, I will discuss. I'm glad Dan's back. So looking forward to having him in the wrestling room as our wrestling head coach, pending approval. Can you please call the roll?
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Abstain.
Motion's approved. please let Dan know we're thankful and congrats.
She didn't abstain because she was mad at him.
He could have come.
People always wonder, boy, she must be mad.
All right, moving on to letter X. Can we have a motion to approve the resolution for non-certified, non-licensed coach supplemental positions for the 2023-2024 school year? Numbers 1 through 2.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Abstain. Moving on to Y, can I have a motion to approve resolution to eliminate positions due to financial condition of the district pursuant to Articles 14, 15 of the negotiated agreement between the Norton Board of Education and OPSI Local 167 and ORC 3319.17 and 3319.172, Attachment AA.
Second.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion passes. Letter Z, can I have a motion to approve the resolution to eliminate the following certified positions due to the financial condition of the district, attachment BB, numbers 1 and 2?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Motion passes. Moving on to AA. Can I have a motion to approve the job descriptions and the creation of the following positions, numbers 1 and 2?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to consent agenda items, can I have a motion to approve letters BB through TT?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes. Motion passes. Moving on to item 12, executive session. Can I have a motion to move into executive session?
For the purpose
to discuss employment of personnel, purchase, sale of property.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
We are now in executive session.
Congratulations to all the new hires and the people moving. Good day.
Session. We are out of executive session. Can I please have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
We are now adjourned.